Hello, welcome to Listcast, where the best things in the world come to be judged. On this episode,
the best sitcoms of the 80s, with Daniel Soto, Matt Brusso, and Adam Todd Brown.
The live stream should have started by now. There we are. We are still waiting on Daniel Soto. Hi, Kimberly McGuire and other people. Okay. Here we go. Now it's getting out of hand. Liam Webster, Stuart Tinch. Hi. I said it's getting out of hand. We had three people comment.
Yeah, but you know, three in a second means in 2 seconds.
Yeah. That's really quick. Is this Danielle saying? Oh, she's stuck in traffic. Stuck in traffic. Fantastic. We are waiting on Danielle Soto to join us. In the meantime, Matt Brusso.
Oh, hi.
How's it going?
Good. How are you, Adam?
Thanks for doing the podcast.
Sure, thanks for having me.
We are talking about 80s sitcoms today. 80s sitcoms, ladies and gentlemen. 80s sitcoms.
When were you born, Adam?
I was born in 1976, so this is right up my alley.
Yeah, this is perfect for you.
Yeah.
For me, a lot of this was remembering things I watched.
Yeah.
As a kid, and like, or things I watched 10 years ago on Netflix.
Yeah, it was that way for me, too. It was a lot of... I mean, I saw a lot of these shows as a kid, but I still had to go back and kind of remember why I liked them so much. But I feel like we have some good picks. And I feel like our listeners tend to skew younger, but I feel like whenever I say that, they prove me wrong and everyone starts posting like, I'm 50, motherfucker.
Right.
So
they talk about the Iran Revolution.
Yeah. So who knows? It could go either way. I'm interested to see what wins. I mean, I'm always interested, but I don't think anyone's picking the Cosby Show. I was gonna.
Then you apologize for it as you were picking it.
Yeah, yeah. I cut that right away. Yeah.
It's amazing what a few years could do, really.
Yeah. Someone said Wolf Lamp with a question mark. Wolf Lamp is on. Kevin Anderson says, don't forget to plug your podcast. Actually, no. I would like that to not be mentioned at all.
Didn't he?
No, plug your podcast.
I do Bleak and Review with Kevin Anderson.
Who?
Kevin Anderson.
Never heard of him.
Vanessa Gritton's boyfriend.
Nope. Okay. Does not ring a bell.
John Fahey's friend?
Okay. Yeah, okay. There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Figgles. Old Johnny Figgles. Me and Kevin Anderson sang Don't You Want Me by the Human League last night.
He's been singing a lot lately.
Yeah. I did Castle Wolfen Show. And part of that show, you have to sing karaoke at the end.
Right.
And I saw Kevin was there, and I said, hey, we're going to sing a 80s duet.
So you pulled him out of the audience.
Yeah, yeah. We sang. He took the lady parts.
Wow, that sounds very presidential.
No, that's exactly how it sounds. Okay. It is, yeah, that's how I meant it. It's great. So, yeah, should we...
Yeah, we can hop into it.
Should we text Danielle and see what her...
You want to text her for her responses?
Her ETA is?
Is she watching the live stream from her car?
I don't know. This is good pod. Me texting the guests.
You don't even have a text sound playing. It's really did you? For me, I made a rule where it's like 89 was like that was too late. You know, that makes sense
for a show to have started
for like an 80s sitcom.
Yeah, I would think so. I didn't really put any rules on like starting in the 70s. I felt like that was fine.
Oh, sure.
But I also didn't pick anything that started in the 70s because I'm not that fucking old. But yeah, it was interesting going back and like there's so many. I mean, I guess every decade there's a ton of shows that you forget about.
Yeah.
But
the majority of them even.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Almost all of them. But
that's the statement of an art right there.
I feel like this will be a good episode, though. I don't think there's going to be a lot of bad picks because the 80s were a good time for sitcoms.
Right, that was prime sitcom.
Yeah, I almost feel like 90s sitcoms would be harder
because there's too many.
Yeah, well, there's
but none
are there
ones. But like there's like but how many good ones compared to
yeah,
how many there are.
That's the thing. Yeah. There's I mean, I feel like there's like 10 good 90s sitcoms total.
Right.
And, I could
and
be
three
wrong.
Of them are Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah. And the other 17 are Mad About You. That math doesn't even work. I don't know where I pulled that from.
It's the 90s.
Yeah. We were living it up in the 90s. Kevin Anderson says, hashtag shame Soto. Oh, we're gonna. Boy, are we gonna when she finally shows up.
Man, that kid Anderson, he can really social media that kid.
Yeah. He really delivers the zingers. We got a picture of Warhorse up in front of the in front of Wolf Lamp. Oh, here we go. GPA says 29 minutes.
I think she's coming from Mexico. She's just going through San Diego now.
Holy shit, 29 minutes?
Maybe, I guess I'll just read in Danielle's voice. I can't do her accent like Kevin can. That's horrible. Horrible. That's Punky Brewster.
That'll be like 7:15.
Hey.
How are we going to do 40 minutes of pre-talk?
And if anyone could fill, it's not me. Well, how was your day, Adam?
It was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, this has been a chaos-filled podcast because we had two guests lined up,
mm-hmm.
and then one canceled right. at the last minute, and then I had to track down. You finally agreed to do it.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome.
Doing it at the last minute. And that was all good. And now this.
Well, I think I frightened Danielle off. I think she
yeah,
was.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I took cheers from her. She was so upset about that.
That could be. Yeah, I feel like maybe we should just start.
Sure.
I actually tried to institute this rule when Andy Peters was running late, where for each rotation we made it through, he just lost a pick. I guess we could still do that.
Sure, yeah.
He made it in time to avoid that. So who knows? Maybe we'll talk for 45 minutes just on our first two picks, and then Danielle will show up. Now it says 24 minutes.
I don't know if this has been covered, but are you making a statement with a black and white American flag?
Yeah, black and white looks rad
yeah, okay,
as a backdrop.
That's a good statement.
Beyond that, you know, it's just a protest thing. Mm-hmm. Just a general protest mm-hmm. about how shitty a red, white, and blue flag looks compared to a black and white flag.
Yeah.
That shit's just dope.
Well, that would really change, like, the French flag, I guess.
All right. So, should we get started?
Sure.
We might as well.
Sure. Weather's great. You know, we can't talk about the weather. Weather's great. I don't know what else there is.
Weather's always great in California.
Even the rain. I kind of like the rain. You know?
It reminds me. There's been a bit much of it, though.
Like, sure, yeah.
It's testing our infrastructure now.
It is.
We're really going to be in the ocean because of water. How ironic is that?
Wow.
So, yeah, we're talking about best sitcoms of the 80s
mm-hmm.
today. I haven't explained the rules to you.
Nope.
And the rules for anyone who is listening for the first time. Basically, what we do, we each have brought five picks with us, and we go around the room listing off our picks, like, one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't list off all five in a row. That would be insane. And after we've gone through our picks, then we each go around and take turns kicking two off the list.
Ooh.
So we do that one at a time also. So then after we've each kicked two off the list, that'll mm-hmm. take us down to nine.
Mm-hmm.
And then we usually figure out a save on the fly. Mm-hmm. Like, we get to save one to bring it back up to 10. Maybe I'll let you save because you're the new guest. Not going to let fucking Danielle save.
Certainly not.
Showing up late like this, goddammit. And then after we have whittled it down to 10, we leave it to the audience, and they vote on the final five, and they decide who's right, who's wrong. Kale Liebig says, good morning from Perth. Good morning! Put another shrimp on the Barbie! I feel like I messed that accent up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the spirit was there.
Kimberly McGuire says, I'm so excited about this topic. I feel like this was my entire childhood. You're goddamn right. This is the best.
Maybe she...
Fuck, where is Danielle at?
Was she a writer for sitcoms? Is that her job?
Yeah, she actually wrote for Cheers
oh, okay.
as a child. All right, so let's get started. What's your first pick? Also, I will keep track of the picks up
okay.
here on the screen.
Okay, sure. My first one is Newhart.
Newhart?
Yes.
That is a bold pick. I mean, not really. It's a great show.
Yeah.
Explain yourself.
Well, Newhart was, I mean, it was basically like Parks and Rec and The Simpsons before either of those shows. And Newhart himself was just being Newhart in his curmudgeon, like, perfect straight man bumbler way. And then he's surrounded by insanity, like with this Larry. And Larry always goes, I'm Larry, and this is my brother Daryl, my other brother Daryl.
My other brother Daryl.
Right. It's a beautiful town. It's just a beautiful place. But something I didn't realize until afterwards when I was researching it was, I noticed at the time that they were testing in real time almost. But there's a good article written about on the AV Club about how in season two, they just keep like throwing things at the TV just to see if anything works. And if it doesn't, they just kick it out. Like one point, George, the handyman, he gets a dog.
Yeah.
And they're like, the dog's not working. So they just get rid of the dog in two episodes. And it's just like, you can just see them experimenting in real time until they finally figured it out in season three, and he's running the show.
Yeah.
And then it finally becomes what it is.
And what a great comic. Bob yeah. Newhart was a fucking amazing comic.
Yeah, he's like Bob Hope with balls or something.
Yeah, yeah. If you listen to like his albums he made back in the day when he was still probably in his 40s or 50s.
Yeah, he looked the same his entire life.
Yeah, he's always looked exactly like he does now. Yeah, that was my mom's favorite show. That was mostly my exposure to it, was her watching it, mm-hmm. and that kind of got me into watching it as a kid. It's not really one that I've ever followed up on as an adult, but that's a respectable pick. Bob Newhart's so fucking great.
Yeah, he was. It's great. And then, of course, the ending, the ending of all endings.
I actually don't remember the ending.
So the last episode, the townspeople show up after they leave, and they're all rich, and he like walks out of his door and gets hit with a golf ball,
uh-huh.
and he passes out, and he wakes up in the Bob Newhart show. With his wife from the Bob Newhart show.
Oh, that's right.
And he goes, oh, it was all just a dream.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah, that was like the only it was all a dream ending that didn't make you want to punch your television.
Exactly. Because Bob Newhart said it.
Did that end before or after Saint Elsewhere? Because I wonder.
Oh, that's a good question.
I wonder if they were just shitting on Saint Elsewhere.
That'd be amazing.
For that fucking, it was all in the kid's head.
Or what, Dallas?
Yeah, JR yeah. Shot. Ugh, that was the worst. That's a good pick, though. That's a really good pick. Do you have anything else to add about Newhart? I feel like we're not going to kill.
Yeah, I mean, these are all great picks. All right, see you later.
All right, we are. We're going to put up the poll. It's just for Newhart.
There's a great episode. I was just going through episodes, and one of them I caught was there's a roast. So Bob has to roast George, his handyman.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
And so they go to the Beaver Lodge, and there's like Lodge. Basically it's like Norm MacDonald roast. Everybody who's doing the roast is basically Norm MacDonald. One of the guys goes, George is so slow. One time in school, he forgot his hat. What? The beavers just die. And another one, the guy goes, George isn't married, but if he had a wife, his wife would be fat. And then somebody goes, well, how fat? And he goes, oh, yeah. She'd have her own zip code.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I remember that roast episode, but I don't remember the jokes from it. I especially liked that episode as a kid. I feel like that might be the one. That's like one of the only ones that really stands out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is I remember watching the roast. But yeah, that was a great show.
Yeah, basically they did a roast on TV in the 80s, and it wasn't a Friars. Do you
she would be fat.
what age were you? You remember?
I probably would have been 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
What years was that on? It was like around 80.
It was like 83 to 90 almost.
Yeah, yeah. So I would have been 8 in 84. So yeah, like 7 or 8. Probably.
Yeah, that's formative. That's formative stuff, right there.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom had good taste in TV shows.
Yeah, that always helps.
Yeah. All right. So should we get to our... Rob Sires says, before St. Elsewhere.
Ooh.
That's almost disappointing. I wish they were...
So St. Elsewhere did a bad version of that.
Yeah. I wish they were making fun of St. Elsewhere. That would have been fun. All right. I will get to my first pick. This, like I mentioned in, I guess, the pre-show. I don't know what we call that.
Emails?
When people don't.
Oh, right.
When we're waiting for people to show up.
You should have it always be the Danielle Soto hour or something, you know, anytime when someone's not here.
But I mentioned that no one, as far as I know, was picking The Cosby Show.
Right.
And that I almost picked The Cosby Show. But it's one of those things, like, my conscience wouldn't let me. Like, I still can't argue for Bill Cosby directly. But what I will argue for is A Different World, which was a direct spinoff of The Cosby Show. And like I said, it was a last-minute change on my part because you still, like, I get all the horrible things that Bill Cosby's been accused of since then. But, you know, it's like O.J.'s still a good running back, you know?
Well, he's still a good running back.
Well, yeah, not right. still, but like in terms of his career.
Right, right. You can't
take
those
yards. Accomplished. Yeah. Yeah, you can't take the touchdowns away.
You can't take the Heisman away from him.
Right. You can take the Heisman and give it to Ron Goldman's father. Yeah. But with the Cosby Show, it was so instrumental in opening the door for so many other shows, and I think A Different World is a good example of that. And also, at the time The Cosby Show premiered, you know, a lot of people forget sitcoms were in a really bad place.
Oh, really?
Like, they weren't... The Cosby Show kind of brought the sitcom back to life, and all of this other great shit followed. Like, there was a time when NBC had, like, Family Ties, The Cosby Show, Golden Girls, Night Court, all of this shit on at the same time. And it was kind of The Cosby Show that did that. But also, Bill Cosby's a disgusting fucking rapist.
Right.
So I'd rather talk about A Different World, mm-hmm. which was a show that proved that what The Cosby Show did wasn't a fluke or a one-off. They really legitimately opened up the door for a lot of sitcoms that came in the late 80s and throughout the 90s that were, you know, predominantly black casts, but they were popular on a really wide scale, you know, and A Different World was a great example. That show kind of, you know, bridged the gap between The Cosby Show and shows like The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and, you know, those really great early 90s sitcoms. And it's a show that handled adversity really well. Their main character, Lisa Bonet, got pregnant after the first season.
In real life.
And the show actually wanted to keep her on. They thought it would be interesting to have a pregnant character in college. And Bill Cosby was like, yellow pudding bops and filth and flarn. And
yeah,
like,
you can go back and look at a lot of his decisions and go, oh, that guy's just a fucking asshole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was a piece of shit. But they, once she had to leave, they made Kadeem Hardison, who was Dwayne Wayne with those fucking glasses, mm-hmm. and Jasmine Guy, who was Whitley Gilbert. They just kind of made them the feature characters on the show, and it worked great. They were like, Dwayne Wayne is such a memorable character. Those glasses, who the fuck was wearing those glasses before him? Like, he did that.
Yeah, they translated to baseball, didn't they? Ken Griffey Jr. was wearing them. They'd flip them up for the sun.
Well, baseball's had their own version of those right. for a while, but
I've never actually seen the show.
Oh, you've never seen A Different World?
No.
It's set at a historically black college. One of the first appearances of Marissa Tomei.
Oh.
She was on the first season, which I know I just said historically black college, but
she's Italian.
That was another interesting storyline that the writers wanted to keep, because there were complaints after the first season that it wasn't an accurate depiction of what life at a historically black college was like.
Oh, interesting.
And Bill Cosby actually stepped in and was like, you need to make these changes to make this more realistic. And the writers wanted to keep Marissa Tomei because one of them had gone to a black college where there was actually a few white students. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, that was realistic. But they ended up, I don't think she lasted past the first season or two. But yeah, I feel like putting A Different World on this list is a good way to acknowledge what The Cosby Show did for TV.
Right.
Without having to get your hands bloody.
Right.
Sticking up for The Cosby Show.
Well, much like A Different World was a spinoff on The Cosby Show, your answer was a spinoff, and I think it was good.
What?
Your answer was also a spinoff, much like the show itself.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And so I'm interested in watching it now because I've never, other than the name, I wasn't very familiar with it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's streaming anywhere.
Man, there's got to be some.
Probably
there's,
is.
There's someone in Russia I can, like, give my, you know, trade my social for it.
Yeah, yeah, there's some stuff that's just really hard to find. Daniel Soto says 13 minutes.
Car on fire.
Should we argue for one of her picks?
Sure.
So we'll just go through it for her.
She picked 60 minutes, I believe.
How shitty would it be if we took Golden Girls?
I know.
Let's talk about Golden Girls all before right. Danielle gets here.
I'd table that one.
Let's talk about Full House.
Sure.
Because here's the thing. Fuck Full House.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't think it was that great.
That was on my list of shows that I didn't want on my list. I made a list of shows I didn't want.
Yeah.
Full House was one of them.
Yeah, Full House. Maybe we'll still be shitting on it long enough for her to arrive and defend it. But of all that was a show that to me just had no real, I don't know. It was just so family oriented.
Yeah.
Like it was almost like a Disney show. Like there was no edge to it. Like I guess Uncle Jesse did a little fucking.
Sure. But that was the nature. He didn't have a kid like in a couple seasons or something. Got his wife pregnant.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But no one else was. There was no other, like, it was just familial love.
Yeah, he was the edginess of that show. And his favorite band was the fucking Beach Boys.
Yikes.
So it wasn't, I don't know. I could never get behind Full House. And then, like, a few years later, I saw Bob Saget do stand-up, and he's all filthy and shit.
That's his whole shtick, it's contrast. His whole bit is just yeah. like, I'm not that dad, even though you all know me as him. That's
yeah. But the problem is he's almost more entertaining as the dad. Like, my favorite Bob Saget role of all time was America's Funniest
Absolutely.
Videos.
Absolutely. That was the perfect shit place for him.
On America's Funniest Videos. But Full House, I don't know how you felt about it, but it was just so overbearingly cute.
Mm-hmm.
And the fucking Olsen twins, and that's so rude. Like, shut the fuck up and do what your dad tells you. He's a single father. Things are rough.
Right, exactly. He's got his cousin or his like brother living with him.
Yeah, he's taking care of everybody. I don't remember. What did he do for a living?
He wasn't a garbage man, but he might as well have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just love for love's sake. And maybe it says it's not a good thing about, doesn't say a good thing about me, the fact that like I don't accept love for love's sake. I'm not going to just like take love just because it's like, oh, we have to. It's going to make everybody happy if there's love for love's sake. You know, why not put, like, some terror in it or something?
Yeah.
Or just add some stakes to it, other than, like, we won't have ice cream.
Yeah, yeah. And everything, like, every episode at the end, it all, like, I guess that was kind of a staple of sitcoms, the way everything just sort of wrapped up perfectly at the end of every episode. But it was never, there was just something not even sort of realistic about Full House.
Right.
Like, they were in San Francisco, and, like, you never saw homeless people. Right. Like, I was like, where are the hippies? Like, even at that age, I was like, where are the fucking hippies? And,
That house is right across from a huge park in San Francisco. Like, that, yeah. The facade, the outside of the house you see, that actual house is right across the street from a huge park. So there would be tons of, like, vagrants.
Yeah, it would have been, you wouldn't have wanted your kids to go outside, probably.
I mean, It makes sense they all live in the same house because, you know, it must have been a tough economy. But
yeah, for sure.
Or to fight off the vagrants left and right. You just never saw them. They always cover up their cuts with long jackets, those 80s jackets.
Carolyn Haushalter says, sitcoms are notoriously artificial, but Full House is so artificial, it makes Splenda look natural. Yeah.
That's a joke I appreciate from the writer of Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah, was there anything about Full House I liked? I think it was... And I must have been like, I think I was in second grade, but I think it was just the attractiveness of Jesse's girlfriend slash wife. I think that was the only thing I appreciated
yeah,
in this show.
She was great, and she's still amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Lori Loughlin?
Is that her name? That sounds like a real, I recognize that as a name.
Yeah.
A real person.
I believe that was her.
I couldn't stand the old, one time, in first grade, I got in trouble because I was in line going out the door, as the teachers would do. They'd get in line to test you if you could line up.
Yeah.
And then someone was talking about Full House, and I think I said I hate Full House, and then I had to go to the back of the line. So that just further cemented my hate of Full House.
How could you hate Full House? Yeah, it was too much. In it, I think someone in the comments also said that it, you know, it like set the tone. Ben Ziggy Falding. Oh no, he was talking about something else. Fuck him and Jeff then. But I do feel like Full House kind of blazed a trail that led to shows like Family Matters and shit that mm-hmm. people talk about today. Like, oh, wasn't that a great show? No, not really. It was kind of bullshit.
Uh-huh.
Like that whole, was it Tuesday night? I think it was ABC's Tuesday night lineup.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That was all like Full House and Family Matters and just all of this like super saccharine cheesy shit that I hated.
Mm-hmm.
Like even as like I couldn't have been more than like 9 or 10, and even then I was like, this is garbage. I need this to be more real.
Right.
I don't even know what I don't even think I knew what real meant at
you just
the
knew
time.
It wasn't that.
But I was like, this ain't living. This isn't how people live.
yeah, you know, people must have, like, they got off work and they went home and they're like, oh, my family's not anything like this. Is it me? You know, probably.
Yeah. It was very unrealistic. And it was, you know, we'll talk about another show that kind of really paved the way for this. But the 80s were, you know, that's when conservatism really ruled this country.
Right. Reagan's America.
I mean, I guess then and right now. But yes. It was, you know, so much, so heavily represented on TV shows. And I think it started, like, it really started to get annoying near the end of the 80s. And I think there's other shows we'll bring up here that I think not only reflected that really well, but were also a reaction to that.
Yeah, it's like a sappy form of propaganda.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
it's fuck Full House.
Is like, is there really, like, I guess there's a place for it in society. I don't want to say there's no place for Full House in society.
Yeah, I mean, it's got, but of all the 80s shows to get rebooted and brought back on Netflix, that was the last one I expected to see.
Right.
Especially after, like, half the cast started, like, smoking meth and joining religious cults and shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a feat that they got them back together.
What does that say about Full House, though? That, like, a show full of so much sap kind of destroyed people making it.
Yeah, it's like raising your kids too strict. They're going to fucking act up. Is Danielle? I swear to God, Danielle just sent me a blank text message. Yep. Totally blank. Just, you want to look, see that? Totally blank.
Wow. But that could mean she's here. She has nothing to say now.
Let's ask if her blank text message means she's here.
Yeah, I think Full House was when they brought it back, it was a test of how much money you can make off nostalgia. They're like, what's the current rate for nostalgia? What are people willing to pay for nostalgia for this year? And that was it. I think they made their money back. The guy got plenty of interviews, the creator or the writer.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, well, nostalgia's $7 a month.
Yeah, yeah. It had to be nostalgia that brought that show back.
No one was like, I love that twist at the end.
Yeah, I just don't know who was nostalgic for it. Danielle, I guess, but she's not here to defend herself. Even if she just showed up, we should probably move on so she doesn't get to defend herself. What's your next pick?
Well, I mean, in that vein, I guess I would say Family Matters.
I know what I'm cutting at the end of this. Yeah, go ahead. Great pick.
Sure. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I've heard a lot about it so far. Well, Family Matters was one of the first shows I remember was it was on after school. I would get home from school and be like Batman the Animated Series, Animaniacs, and then it'd be like Family Matters, and then The Simpsons would, two episodes of The Simpsons would come on.
Yeah.
And so I was like fucking locked into The Simpsons. And Family Matters was always that kind of filler. But it was also where I grew up in Massachusetts. It was my introduction to black people.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It was really it until I was friends with my friend Greg McManus, and then he was gone after a summer because they moved, and then it was back to Family Matters for me because that's where I grew up. But I mean, things about it have like Carl Weathers. Like every time I see, I don't even know that actor's name. Is it Carl Weathers?
That's Reginald Vell Johnson.
Okay, damn it.
That's Carl Weathers was Apollo Creed.
Right, right, but I always call his isn't what's his character's name?
Oh, Carl Winslow.
Carl Winslow, that's it.
Carl Winslow.
What did I read? Yeah, you know, they don't. He doesn't look the same at all. That's not even. That's terrible. He's always been. Every time I see Reginald in anything, he's still Carl Winslow.
Yeah,
I just assume that he's just like, if he's in Die Hard, he's just in a higher level of the police force now.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely that kind of character.
Yeah, and even in GTA, there's a black cop in GTA, and he's kind of chubby. I'm like, well, there's Carl Winslow again. He's everywhere. I just see him.
What did you think of Steve Urkel as a character?
I hated him.
Yeah.
I hated him. But I also found the sister of the family attractive, so I was willing to put up with it.
Yes, I agree. I don't remember her name. What was her name? Was it Becky?
I don't know. Sounds like a Becky. No, But also, Family Matters, like, it kind of disappeared for a while, and then one of my professors was the guy who created Family Matters.
Oh, wow.
This guy named Bill Bickley, or he goes by William Bickley in all of these. And in the 80s, he was the guy, he used to write for Family Day, Happy Days, and he was like a producer. And then he kept writing for other things. And then in the 80s, he was the guy that the studios went to make a black sitcom.
Oh, yeah.
He was a white guy, and he had a goatee. So I guess they were like, goatee. So he was a guy. He created, what did I say? So there's a white guy who created Perfect Strangers. That's how he got, like, met his wife. But then Family Matters, Mr. Cooper, and Step by Step.
Oh, wow.
And so he was my professor, and he had some stories. He's told this story about Urkel. Because, you know, like, Urkel wasn't in the first few episodes. And then he came in, and he blew everybody away.
Yeah.
And he said that when they were auditioning kids, and Urkel's the actor who is Urkel.
Jaleel White.
Thank you. Yeah. You with the names.
Vanessa Gritton says Carl Winslow was my Uncle Phil. Uncle Phil was your Uncle Phil, goddammit. Go on.
So I guess Bill Bickley told me that Jaleel White just showed up completely dressed in that outfit with the character already figured out. And they were like, well, wow, this is the character. And that was it. And that probably explains why he's never been able to do anything else.
Yeah.
Because he was like 7 when he made that.
I've seen him on a few shows since then. Oh, Danielle is here.
Okay.
All right.
Should I get her?
No, I'll go down and get her. We'll just, I guess we'll be back.
Should I do
in a minute? Yeah. Yeah. Could you beatbox or?
No, like, I certainly can't.
Improvise.
I'll call Kevin Anderson and have
How
him
about
beatbox.
Some freestyle rhymes?
Oh, wow.
Please.
I can't
Could
do that
you spit
either.
Some bars for the people while I go down and get Danielle? Thanks.
No.
Danielle Soto, you're here. How's it going?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, of course. I'm really, really sorry that I'm late.
There we already covered the Golden Girls.
No, you didn't. I don't believe you.
Oh, that would have been so funny. Why didn't we do it?
I know. I probably would have flipped this table over.
But you had Full House on your list.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. Would you like to say anything good about it? Because it was mostly just me and Matt shitting on it. But
you guys
I assume,
didn't like it.
Is that what you were going to do too?
No, I liked Full House. But I was a little girl.
Mm, yeah. That makes sense. Like, how young were you?
I was probably 7, 6 years old when I watched Full House.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Did you live with your uncle?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Like, are you making a reference to Full House?
Yes.
Yeah, because there was an uncle on it. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a good show. And I like Fuller House. I watch that on Netflix now. I don't know if anyone watches Fuller House.
Absolutely not.
No? Okay.
But yeah, it was. I remember watching it as a kid and thinking, I'd probably like this if I was 7.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because it was like, I feel like the Olsen twins were a big driving force behind that show.
It was so wholesome. And one time I remember I was at the Copley Square Mall in Massachusetts, in Boston. And I don't know if it was scheduled or she was just there, but Candace Cameron was there. I honestly don't remember if it was like a celebrity sighting. And I just remember a sea of people. And my brother's best friend's mom put me on her shoulders to see if I could see over the crowd just to get a good look.
And you're standing behind Bill Russell, so you couldn't.
Right. He's huge.
Tall guy.
Bill Russell's big.
So yeah, I guess that's what did you guys talk about for your shows?
We have so far covered Newhart,
okay,
A Different World,
great,
and Family Matters. Which that you missed that fun part when I was shitting on Full House. I was like, and it led to shit like Family Matters, and then
there was a crossover episode where Urkel shows up on Full House.
Oh, really?
Uh huh.
What happens?
I think he messes a bunch of stuff up. Oh, because
he actually raped someone. Really dark episode.
And then he said, "Did I do?
Did I do that?"
And the police were like, "Yes,
yeah, you did.
You sure did.
That's why you're on trial." He talked Stephanie into wearing her glasses.
if that's what it takes.
What a prince Urkel is. So I guess we're to my next pick.
Yeah,
which I'm gonna go with. Family Ties.
Great.
Anyone ever watch Family Ties?
Yes.
That was, the Family Ties was like if the 80s wrote a sitcom about itself. Like it was 80s, like especially with the, you know, how we shifted as a country toward conservatism in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And that show was definitely that. Like that show literally was that because when it started, it was supposed to be about two liberal parents with two piece of shit kids. And people really liked one of those piece of shit kids.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, you should just make the whole show about that. And now then next thing you know, it became Michael J. Fox just delivering all of these like pro-conservative lines. And the two people who played the parents were pissed because they were actual liberals and they thought that this was going to be a show that kind of espoused liberal ideals. And Michael J. Fox was just such a good character.
He
took
really
that fucking
was.
Show.
I have a question for you. Are you saying two kids because it originally was two kids, or are you saying that?
Yeah, the original idea was because that. Yeah,
because then Tina Yuthers
joined. Like they only had two in the pilot, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
I believe so.
Because I know that Tina Yuthers was on, and then Bateman was the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Michael J.
And
Fox.
Then they had another kid, like the.
Oh yeah, they had the little bullshit baby.
Yeah, new kid on the block.
I hate when that happens.
Such an 80s sitcom thing to do, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Which led to the dinosaurs and that fucking baby.
That fucking baby. But yeah, breakout role for Michael J. Fox. 3 Emmys in a row for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series. And it was just, it's out of all the shows, I think, of the 80s, it's the best reflection of what the 80s were like, at least from a political standpoint. And I think that matters. And it was a funny show. It was a well-written show. I laughed at it as a kid. I haven't watched it since, though. I haven't like gone back and revisited.
I love it.
Family Ties.
Are you familiar with the episode A My Name Is Alex?
I'm not sure.
So there's an episode, and in it, Alex's friend dies in a car accident.
Oh, wow.
And his family sends him to a therapist because he's having trouble grieving. And the episode is set in like a theater. It's like a black box theater.
Uh-huh.
And people from his past keep popping in and having scenes with him. And like he plays himself as a young boy. He plays himself as himself. It's like a very different type of episode.
Yeah.
It's funny, but it will make you cry too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then there's that Speed episode.
Yeah, the Speed episode was great. The episode where Tom Hanks shows up as the drunk uncle.
Yeah.
And at one point,
he slaps him.
He pulls a bottle of vanilla extract out of the cabinet and goes, "It's not Miller, but it's vanilla." And just slams it. And I was like even as a kid, I was like, what the fuck? Is that going to get you drunk? Is that going to get me drunk? Should I go drink the vanilla in the kitchen?
Would it?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's why you smell like vanilla today.
It sure is.
It's not Bed Bath & Beyond.
But yeah, I thought Family Ties was a fantastic show.
That's good interesting. Choice. They're representative of the 80s. I'd never thought about that, but it makes sense.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's probably not a surprise that that show was super popular around the same time Reagan was winning the fucking Electoral College 49 states to one.
Oh, yeah. He was obsessed with Reagan.
Did yeah,
he have, like,
yeah.
A picture of him in his bedroom?
Yeah, a lot of conservatives were super duper obsessed with Reagan.
Funny.
And yeah, that was a good representation of it. So Danielle, yeah. It's time for your next pick.
Okay. What is it? Or should I make it up? I get to choose?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because I didn't list them in any particular
order.
No, you
don't have to go in any order.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about the facts of life.
The facts of life.
Okay.
Take the good, you take the bad. You take them both, and there you have.
The facts of life.
Right.
So
okay, go on.
I love the facts of life. Because number one, I don't know if everyone's aware of this, it is of course a spinoff off of Different Strokes.
Right.
So Mrs. Garrett used to work for Arnold and his family on Different Strokes. And then she started working at an all-girls boarding school at the Facts of Life. And so I really like this show because it was female driven. It was an ensemble cast. You know how I feel about all female ensemble casts. And it was up with the times, so it was socially aware. They tackled issues that were pertinent to women in that time. And it was also diverse in that there was a black one.
Yeah.
Which was Tootie.
Kim Fields.
Yes. And I just thought it was a really funny show. It always made me laugh. I thought the writing was really strong. There was a lesbian who wasn't a lesbian. Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Blair Warner is a really good character. I think that sometimes women get stereotyped when it comes to comedy into the clumsy one or the like awkward, like, oops, I spilled everything. And it's these characters like, I'll wait for this, but Blanche Devereaux from The Golden Girls, but also like Blair Warner, who she's like, she uses vanity to be humorous. And I feel like sometimes people underestimate that.
Yeah.
And how funny it can really be. Yeah, so that's the facts of life. Did you guys watch it?
I did. I watched it a lot as a kid.
Did you have a crush on Blair?
Yeah, yeah. I also like Tootie a lot, too, though.
Can I say one more thing?
Nope. Okay, go ahead.
It was also diverse in terms of body shape. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
It wasn't for thin, tall girls. You know, Natalie was different sized, and then Blair was different sized. Joe was different sized. Tootie was shorter, and I thought it was diverse in that as well. It represented different women.
Yeah, it was a good show. I watched that and Different Strokes a lot as a kid.
So, yeah, those are both on my list.
Yeah. I figured.
Yeah.
Whose turn is it? Your turn, right?
Oh, I guess it's mine. All right.
It's your turn. What's your next pick, Matt?
All right. Well, I guess we'll go with the one that I took from Danielle.
He bamboozled it.
Cheers. I mean, I don't know if we need to explain this one that much, but... So it's set in a bar, and everything's in it. Everything's in the bar, which is great for your budget. And
yeah, absolutely.
You know, like Cliff and Norm were basically like if you split Archie and Bunker in half, and then you have there's still like such a great ensemble. It was such a good ensemble that it actually spun off how many shows in the 90s? Like,
well, Frasier.
Frasier, certainly. Most Frasier. Importantly,
then at least two Simpsons episodes. But Danielle, you wanted it, and Danielle's reason for wanting it was, I'm from Boston.
Well, it's our claim to fame. Like, what else do we have except for winning all the time?
Right. So,
well, okay. That's recent. Don't get cocky. It wasn't like that in the 80s.
Well, the Celtics.
Yeah, I suppose.
I think
I mean, until Len Bias died. Am I right?
I think Cheers is a really good show, despite being from Boston. And I talked to somebody about this. I was like, I guess it's a friend of mine, Ken Reed, who has a podcast. He's like, I didn't realize Cheers was a big deal outside of Boston.
Oh, really?
Like, growing up in Boston, it's like, of course we're all going to love it. But then you go outside and you venture, and it's like, no, this is a beloved sitcom everywhere.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was, one of the biggest one of its time, basically. It was like, Taxi, and then Cheers, and then Seinfeld, and then...
Also, I think Cheers did something unique that wasn't popular in the 80s, which is when a character died, they didn't just replace it with a different actor.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes that would happen. Like, somebody would just, like, come in and play Aunt Viv, who hadn't been Aunt Viv on The Fresh Prince. Same with Roseanne.
Yeah.
They didn't replace the actor coach. They just brought in Woody Harrelson.
Right.
It became a different dynamic.
Did you know, that actually reminds me of two things. One, have you seen the Grizzly Man documentary?
Yeah.
Did you know that guy was supposed to be, like, he was second in line for the Woody role on Cheers.
Really?
And instead he got eaten by a bear in a Werner Herzog documentary.
He starred in a Herzog film. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
Oh, my goodness.
The thing is pretty amazing. Like, I don't know, it shouldn't be amazing that they decided not to just replace the character with the same character played by a different person.
Yeah.
That they actually decided to write a little bit. And yeah. Like, they were allowed to do that. I don't know why that was such a new idea.
That's actually what it reminds me of. I went to, speaking of Aunt Viv from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I went to the Spy Museum in Washington, D.C., and they have these little, like, missions you can go on where they push you in a room and a screen comes on and there's, like, a CIA operative who tells you what you have to do next. And me and my friend Nicole went to this mission at the Spy Museum. And we go in the room, and the screen comes up, and the CIA operative is the woman who played Aunt Viv the first one on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So then me and my friend are just looking at each other like, shit, that's what happened to her. She's in the goddamn CIA now.
The government.
That is so... I had no idea. I forgive everything. Yeah. It makes perfect sense.
Well, she's not dead, so we can't play her as dead in the show. I guess we'll just replace her like we did in real life.
That's why they never addressed it.
Well, now we know.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
But yeah, Cheers. That's a great... I mean, obviously, that's just fantastic pick. I've actually just started watching Cheers and Golden Girls again lately.
Hey, now.
Because Golden Girls is on Hulu again.
Yes,
they just put it up on Hulu.
Yeah, February 13th.
Yeah.
Cheers, my favorite... First, I love that so many of them are voices in, like, voice acting, like Toy Story. Mm-hmm. Like, you hear Cliff, like, as the pig, and it's... I don't know. It's just so nostalgic. And also, like, that guy, I mean, you know, knock on wood, he just doesn't age. Some of those actors from Cheers, you see them today and you're like, God, you were on television 30 years ago. You look exactly the same. My favorite line from Cheers is when Norm's talking about the buffalo. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, so he's like, they're
someone
like,
just, Josh King, Cliff's buffalo herd theory is how I justified binge drinking in college.
Yes, yes. It's the buffalo are walking across the country and, you know, the weakest ones die first. So at the end, it's a stronger group of buffalo. Same with brain cells when you drink. So when you drink, the brain cells that are dying are the weakest ones. So that makes you smarter.
That's brilliant.
That's the buffalo theory.
That makes sense.
Who was that, Josh?
I don't know.
It's gone now.
Scrolled away.
Well, whoever you are.
Right. All right. Yeah, Cheers is a good pick. I think it's my pick next.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I am going to please some sassy baskets in the comments and pick Night Court.
Great.
Night Court was so fucking good. Did anyone watch Night Court?
I've watched episodes of Night Court. I didn't consistently watch it.
I bought the first season again once I was researching this just to make sure I still like it as much as I did as a kid. And it's so fucking good.
Yeah, it's probably better now.
Oh, yeah. Night Court is fantastic. John Larroquette as Dan Fielding is one of the best, not just sitcom characters, just best TV characters. He won an Emmy for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series 4 years in a row and withdrew his name from the ballot the fifth year because he was going to just keep fucking winning because his character was so great.
It's amazing.
And this, someone brought this up in the comments, but you mentioned replacing characters with new characters. They actually, there's a role on Night Court that was like almost cursed where they had this bailiff. Her name was Selma. And I think the actress's name was Selma Diamond. And I don't remember what her name was on the show, but it was also Selma. And I don't know if
I'm... Is that the black lady with the short hair?
No. See, what happened the first season, there was a... First two seasons, there was a Selma. She actually got nominated for an Emmy. She was great. She was super old. She was like in her 70s or 80s. She died of cancer after the second season. They replace her with another like old gravelly voiced bailiff. She dies of cancer after the third season.
And then they solve it in the fourth season.
Well, they replaced her again, but they also, this also came up, did a really cool like anti-smoking episode.
Was it lung cancer?
Because it was lung cancer killed both of them.
No
yeah.
way.
And because they were like casting an old, like a really old, like gravelly voiced woman who, you know, like you could tell they had smoked their entire fucking yeah. lives. But they did that just fucking seamlessly. And they finally replaced her with Roz, who ended up.
That's
yeah,
right.
Roz is
yeah.
who you're thinking of. She was on for the rest of the show. But all the characters were great. Bull Shannon
yeah.
was so fucking amazing.
He was
like
8 feet tall.
I legitimately, I was talking to Caitlin Cutt about this today. I legitimately think the hosts of the Unpops podcast could be cast in a reboot of Night Court. I feel like we have all the fucking parts in place. Jeff May would just need to shave his head. He could be Bull Shannon. It would be Chet Wilde is too short to be John Larroquette, but he could do it. Like
someone should write a spec script.
I'm into it. I was thinking about it today, and I was like, fuck, we could do this.
Definitely.
And God damn it, it was such a good show.
Who would you play?
I would have to be the judge because he's the star, and this is my fucking podcast network, so I don't even know what you're asking right now. Vanessa Gritton, Vanessa's Roz, obviously. Mm-hmm. She's asking, yeah. I mean, we're going to have to kill two people before we can get Vanessa in the third season.
Well,
we're going to have to kill a couple people of lung cancer.
I think that's an acceptable loss.
Yeah. Oh, were you going to say something?
No, I mean, it's kind of like, I'm not going to be able to recall it very well, but before the internet, they had like, I guess, phone... online dating, like what do you call that? Like before there was online dating, it's like you call a magazine,
a matchmaker,
like not like a matchmaker,
a dating service,
like a dating service.
Yeah,
I guess. And so there's an episode where Roz is talking on the phone or writing back and forth with this guy, and they have a lot in common. But she sends the curly headed girl, like the little one.
Uh huh.
Do you know what I'm talking about on the show?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, so anyways, she goes on the date. It's very wacky. Turns out the man sent another person on the date as well, and Roz and him are at the bar chatting, and they have no idea that they both did that. So
wacky.
It's something Vanessa would do, don't you think?
Oh, so
that sounds so like Vanessa. Oh my God.
That's where I was going with that.
So Night Court, that's my next pick. Danielle, what's your next pick?
Well, I think naturally, since we just talked about Facts of Life, I think we can go over Different Strokes now.
Different Strokes.
Okay, here's the thing about Different Strokes that I think differentiates from a lot of the sitcoms that we've talked about. There was an iconic catchphrase.
Wait, we have a comment. Vanessa is dying to know who she was in Night Court. We already said Roz.
Roz.
Roz. Jesus. Quit interrupting us. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No problem. There was an iconic catchphrase. And like, yes, true with Full House. Not true with Cheers.
Norm!
Yeah.
But go on.
Oh.
Also the sound of beer.
I don't know if that... The sound of beer... You guys are stretching. But there was What You Talking About, Willis, which to this day is asked all over the world.
Especially yeah. when people are looking for talking to Willis. Never
mind. Yeah. It was a great cast. Dana Plato, Todd Bridges, Conrad, who was on Maude before that with
yes.
B. Arthur and Rue McClanahan from The Golden Girls. Yeah.
Are you into The Golden Girls?
Kinda.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, fucking Gary Coleman.
Of course.
Yeah.
What a cursed cast they were.
Yeah.
Rough times.
Totally. After that. Dana Plato committed suicide.
Yeah.
Todd Bridges is...
Which was Howard Stern's fault.
Go on.
Oh, haven't you ever heard, like, the right previous to her committing suicide, she did an interview on Howard Stern that was just fucking batshit insane. And they shouldn't have had her on. Like, she wasn't in her right mind. Hmm. And they made her look like a crazy person.
I didn't know
And this. She killed herself, I think, that night. I don't know if that episode even ever aired. How but wasn't it live?
How do you know yeah. about it? Yeah, it's
there was a TV. There was a TV movie about Different Strokes. And specifically about Dana Plato.
I'm going to look that up later and just see if the interview is online somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, it's the internet, so it's got to be somewhere. But that's really spooky.
Tom Lamar says the spinoff of Different Strokes was Cops.
Oh, I made a note saying that Different Strokes and Webster led to Muggsy Bogues. That was... For the sports people out there.
You know. Why would you leave Spud Webb out of that?
Well, I should have said Spud Webb.
God damn.
Because I was a Muggsy Bogues fan.
I have a friend whose last name is Webster, and she posted something on Facebook like, these days kids don't use dictionaries, so I can't say to people like the dictionary.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, does Emmanuel Lewis still resonate? I don't even know if she got it. I think the parents on the thread enjoyed it.
We got it. Yeah. All right. Do you have anything else to add about that? I agree. That's a great pick. That was a show I was obsessed with.
Dudley getting molested. Need I say more? The Bicycle Man.
That was a great episode. I loved the episode where Dudley started wetting the bed.
Oh.
And Arnold is getting really resentful because they take Dudley to a psychiatrist and they're like, you just need to show him more attention. And they're at dinner and everyone's being super attentive to Dudley. And Arnold all of a sudden goes, what's a guy got to do to get a biscuit around here? Pee his chair? I was like, oh, that was harsh, Arnold.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
But at the same time, give him a goddamn biscuit. He's Arnold. He's the reason this show's working.
Yeah. I think was Facts of Life the only spinoff from that?
I don't remember.
I think that's it.
Probably.
All right. Well, write in if you can think of another. Please.
All right. That's a good pick.
Thank you.
And we are on to your next pick, right?
Yes. This is number four. I'm going to go with It's Gary Shandling's Show.
I have never seen that.
I have never seen that.
It is fantastic. If you like shows that are about the show being about the show, then this is the show about the show about the show for you.
I'm already out. But go on.
Basically, so Gary Shandling made a show, and during the show, he talks to the audience about the show.
Like the Muppet Show.
Kind of. So, he comes out, and for instance, the theme to Gary Shandling's show goes like this. This is the theme to Gary's show, the theme to Gary's show. Gary called me up and asked me if I would write this theme song. I'm almost halfway finished. How do you like it so far? How do you like the theme to Gary's show? We're almost at the part of the where I start to whistle. Then we'll watch It's Gary Shandling's Show. And that's the theme song. So then Gary comes out into his house, and he talks to the audience, and he goes, hey, well, this is what we're going to do today. And then a scene will start. And they're like, people who come in.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, it's bright in here. Like, oh, you're on TV. And they'll come in and they'll do a scene. And for instance, one of the ones I was watching to remember was this episode 10 in season 1, where Gary comes out and he meets with like a psychic comes in and tells him what's going to happen in the episode, basically.
Yeah.
And Gary's like, his friend is going to go on a date with a guy who's going to scare her and like frighten her. So Gary's like, well, I'll just meet him in the cafe before that. And so then he just walks through the set, out of the set, into the other set, and meets with the guy. And the guy gets set off, and he throws something against the wall. And Gary's like, I'm not gonna. He was supposed to go fishing with his cousin and his nephew.
Uh huh.
And he's like, I can't go fishing. We'll cut those scenes out. I'll just stay at the house. And so he just adjusts the entire show as it's happening, just to fit whatever story he's trying to write. And like, people will come out and say, this is scene 2. And he's like, no, this is scene 3. So it's just like completely self-referential and meta in a way that was completely groundbreaking and never seen before at that time.
Do you know how many seasons it ran?
I think it's 4 seasons.
Half a season, actually. Half a season.
It was just that one episode I talked about.
Sounds really good. I want to check it out.
Yeah, Rob Brown in the comments says, I loved It's Gary Shandling's show. If you didn't have Showtime, you never knew it existed.
Yeah, that
there
that
it is. I didn't have Showtime as a kid.
It's on Hulu now, I think. Oh. But it actually, a lot of the episodes you can find, just Google Gary Shandling Show and stream and you'll find it.
Yeah. That's an interesting pick. I like it.
Well done, Matt.
Well done, Matt.
Well, great. I'll see you guys later.
Well done, Matt. Boo!
Adam, what's your next one?
My next pick, this is a sentimental favorite, Alf.
Okay.
Alien life form.
I have things to talk about.
ALF. Better known as Gordon Shumway. That was Alf's real name. Alf was... It was a show that was equal parts funny, but also massively depressing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That alien was going through some shit. His planet had just been destroyed. He was living with a cat that no one would let him eat.
That's a tough
And, like, the culture shock, just everything... And I thought it was really great that they actually expressed that. It wasn't just, oh, a wacky alien came to the planet. It's like, oh, sometimes that alien's really sad because his entire race died in a nuclear war. Like, there's an episode where he tries to contact the president to get him to end the nuclear arms race. Like, it was such a great... Because this was, you know, late 80s at that point in the Cold War where it was really tense, where, like, dying in a nuclear blast was all we were thinking about. And this was a show that kind of handled that in a really interesting and not heavy-handed way. And it was just – it was a funny show. It was a well-written show. And it was also, if you look into it – like the things that went into making that show happen, like they had to build a special stage with all these trapdoors in it. All the actors fucking hated each other because the show was a nightmare to film. But you wouldn't know that by watching it because it was so well done and so funny and so well written. And it was like, it's a show I wish lasted longer. The executives that canceled it even at one point kind of admitted they let it die a little too soon.
Oh.
But I thought Alf was a better show than I think people remember, or probably not as silly of a show as people remember.
Did you watch it, Matt?
No, but Alf sounds like if Superman didn't have powers.
Yeah, kind of.
Just like, they're like, what do we do? You're just nothing you could ever
do. Yeah. He was ugly.
He was just there and like in the way and sad sometimes. But the family still took care of him and, you know, like protected him. And there's a really sweet episode where there's a family member who shows up who's blind. She's actually a recurring character who never realizes that Alf isn't human.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because she just knows he's short and hairy, but you know he's so good at interpersonal communication with humans that it's never like and I like the message of that. Like he was a very human alien with very human emotions, and I just thought it was a sweet show.
I have a question. Is Jeff May watching this right now?
Is Jeff May watching? No. Jeff May has a show tonight. So
okay.
No.
So Christmas 2014.
Oh boy, this is fun already.
I didn't have anyone to hang out with because I'm Jewish and because I didn't have that many friends yet, I guess, because I had just moved here like, you know, in June of 2014. So Jeff May was like, I'll hang out with you. We went to Santa Monica Pier. We rode the roller coaster. He hated it. We ate funnel cake. We went to his house. We picked up a DVD. We went to my house. We got in the hot tub, not romantic, not like intimate, just friends, got in the hot tub and watched Alf, the Christmas special, where the girl has AIDS. Are you familiar?
Yeah, yeah.
This girl has AIDS. We're in a hot tub on Christmas.
Yeah, the Alf Christmas special is bleak.
Yes, it's so sad. And it's like way longer than you're supposed to be in a hot tub for. We're both like horribly dehydrated. And Jeff ran into the hot tub with his cell phone in his pocket.
Well, he was excited to see the Elf.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then afterwards, we fell asleep on the couch watching Batman.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my only like Alf experience memory.
That's not a bad representation of what Alf was.
It's like a guy with a cabin, and then someone wants to buy the cabin, and it's like sad because the man's old, he doesn't have family, and
yeah.
There's a girl with AIDS who's
there. Also an Alf cartoon that was also just dark as shit.
What the hell?
It's a heavy story. It's just there's a furry alien running around, so you don't really notice.
Good pick.
Yeah.
Good pick.
I'm into it. Aw, Jennifer Fendelander says, I totally had an autographed photo of Alf.
Wait, who autographed? Did Alf autograph it?
Yeah.
Wow. That's probably worth something.
I want an autographed photo of Alf.
That's I can fantastic. Autograph a photo of Alf.
Where do you think Alf is right now?
His planet?
Hopefully on a rebuilt Melmac, ideally. Back with his people.
Eating cats.
Let's all pray that.
In the Melmac Orbit Guard.
Is that what that is?
That's why he wasn't on the planet when it blew up. He was in the Melmac Orbit Guard, so he was up in the sky.
So there must be other Melmac then. Alfians? What are they, Melmacians?
Yeah, there's other Melmacians running around.
Was he?
Like, he had a girlfriend who was somewhere out there in the universe, which all made the story all the more sad.
Yikes.
Because it's not just that his planet got destroyed. It's that it got destroyed, but he knows some of his loved ones lived, but there's nothing he can do to get to him until he fixes his ship.
So he's a refugee.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Wow. Look at that. Was that a Jim Henson creation?
I don't think so. No, because the guy who created Alf also voiced him.
Oh, okay.
And he's like one of the reasons the show had to be canceled, because that guy, apparently this guy like didn't like rehearsing. He would rehearse just with his hand and then would show. And Alf took like four people to operate.
Oh, my God.
And this
God.
Guy was just like, we'll wing it.
So he was Alf.
Yeah, he basically was Alf. Yeah, I forget the guy's name, but he was apparently a super asshole.
Okay.
A studio lot closet. Oh, Kira Lusby. That's where she says Alf is.
In
a studio lot closet.
Yeah, yeah.
Take it back.
What's his planet? Merrimack?
Melmac.
Sorry.
That's where we got Merrimack University.
Sorry.
Oh.
That's dopey.
Okay. Danielle, what's your next pick? Is this our last pick?
No, I have two more.
Okay, it's my last pick. It's the next
one. Oh, I have two more. Oops. But that's okay, because it'll end on me.
Okay. Yeah. 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 You're right.
Okay. So my next pick is Punky Brewster.
That's a good pick.
Thank you. So this is the pick that I picked when Matt picked my pick of Cheers.
A lot of picking.
That's a mouthful.
So I wanted Cheers, but that's okay. I gave it to Matt, and I picked up Punky Brewster, which in all honesty, it was my favorite show. Like when I was in first grade, I had a pen pal, Chris Kwan, and he was in another classroom. It was like different classroom pen pals. And I wanted to tell him my favorite television show is Punky Brewster, but I didn't know how to spell Brewster. So I just wrote Power Rangers. I just lied because I didn't know how to spell Punky Brewster. But she was my favorite. I used to wear different colored socks and shoes. So if you don't know, Punky Brewster is the story of a girl whose mother abandons her in a grocery store parking lot, or maybe a mall. But it's a parking lot.
Yeah.
Like just goes inside and never ever comes out. So she's with her dog Brandon, and she sneaks into like an apartment building. and she's sleeping in the stairwells, and she like finds her way into a vacant apartment. And the landlord or super is this guy, Henry, and he discovers her there, and he's like, we obviously have to call the authority, you know, we have to find your mother. And she just trusts him. She's very witty. She's very, very, like, these jokes just come out of nowhere because it's like this little tiny girl, and she's got all this energy and punky power, if you will. And she ends up living with Henry, and he keeps her and keeps Brandon. And it's a hilarious show about a little girl and a very old, you know, kind of, what am I looking for? It's
stodgy.
Stodgy?
Sure.
Stodgy man. And it's just really amusing and sweet. And she has a best friend named Cherry, who lives with her grandmother. So I think it sort of reaches kids of a different family background.
Yeah.
It wasn't that, like, Family Matters. You know, you had the mom and the dad, and
this one here picking Family Matters,
the nuclear family.
Yeah, and like, you know, Full House, it was still, you had a parent.
Yeah.
But here it was like, well, what if you're not related to your guardian?
So yeah,
I think it spoke to a different audience, and me too.
And it was based in Chicago, so that was a big selling point for me because I grew up in Illinois.
There you go. Yeah. And they did episodes about drugs. Which
is
very funny. They did episodes about getting locked in a refrigerator and how to perform CPR.
Yeah, Brian Dean just said, didn't someone get locked in a refrigerator
Cherry
on that show?
Cherry did get locked in a refrigerator, and then somebody had to give her CPR. And it wasn't, I don't know, I feel like shows like Full House went more into like the drunk driving, smoking cigarettes, kind of like issues of the time. But it wasn't that heavy, but like it grazed them. And Nancy Reagan was a big fan of the show because they went on the Just Say No campaign together.
Oh, yeah.
Just Say No to old fridges.
And then Soleil Moonfry got big old jugs.
Yeah,
and
she did.
She couldn't play Punky Brewster anymore because her boobs were out of control. And she was on an episode of Saved by the Bell with big boobs. And then she got a breast reduction and joined the cast of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh,
did she have to get that to join the cast?
I don't know.
Because the way it was worded, it kind of sounded...
No, I don't think so. That would be a little outrageous. Okay. Yeah.
I wonder about, like, people who write shows like that, like, was one of them walking through, like, an old alleyway, and they're like, oh, remember when we were kids, we were told not to get in those fridges? I'm like, oh, I got an idea for a whole episode. I got it.
They actually killed someone in a fridge to see. We want it to be realistic. Put a kid in there and an adult.
I learned a lot.
That's a good pick.
Thank you.
I was a big fan of Punky Brewster.
Loved Punky Brewster.
That hit me right at the right time. I think that premiered like 85 or 86. So I was like 7 or 8. These are all the shows for me were like in that when I was like between 7 and 10.
I think she was like a fashion icon for little
girls.
Yeah,
she really was.
She had the vest, the
pins. Dressed like TLC.
Yeah, she did.
I'm surprised she didn't have a condom in her glasses. That would have been...
What about your friends? They're in refrigerators.
Oh, that's a good pick.
Thank you.
Matt.
All right. So with my last one here, I've tried to put this off as long as I can, but I've been found out as someone who doesn't watch that many 80s sitcoms. But the topic was favorite 80s sitcoms. And so I've actually only seen like 2 episodes of Roseanne.
Yep.
Oh.
But... My brother and my and his wife Katie, my sister-in-law, they swear by it. And I'm gonna read what Katie is brilliant. She has a master's degree and she's very smart.
Wow.
So I'm building it up here. All right.
Hi, Katie.
Katie, shout out.
So this is what she wants to say. She says Roseanne was revolutionary on 2 counts. 1, in its own right as a sitcom about a working class matriarchal family in which women generally run things and still everyone loves and respects each other. 2. In its context as a constantly embattled number one sitcom, and often 2 or 3, et cetera, vying with The Cosby Show and then Seinfeld and then Shudder, Home Improvement, those were her words. As such, it was a woman-helmed show with a majority female leads. The Connor household is Roseanne, Dan, their 2 daughters, 1 son, Roseanne's sister, et cetera. And a majority of problems that would never have been featured on its competition. Frequently, Roseanne and Dan lost jobs, worried about bills, had to quit jobs due to union issues, working conditions, harassment. And then the final season, this is fascinating to me, Roseanne, in much ways, is a fully postmodern deconstruction of the show itself, as well as its content.
Yeah.
They win the lottery, and suddenly they become much more like the families on other shows. Ultimately, it is revealed that this was all a story written by Roseanne, the character, as a way of coping with the death of her husband, Dan.
Yeah.
Yep.
No show did class issues in quite the same way that Roseanne, yet still managed to be funny, engaging, and relatable as any of his competitors.
Yeah, that last season of Roseanne was insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a great pick. Roseanne was one of my favorite shows as a kid. I watched that shit religiously.
Yeah, I don't think there was like ever a bad episode. I think you can turn it on at any point in any season, except for the last one, because it gets like it gets non sequitur with the other seasons. But you can turn it on anywhere and enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, like how the Golden Girls, not to bring it about me, but they let people know that you could still be sexually active at a certain age. You know, yeah. Your sex life doesn't stop. I think that Dan and Roseanne did that for A, people of a different body type, and B, people of a certain family dynamic. You know, like
right.
They had such demanding schedules because they both had to work full time to support their family. But like you could tell these two, they fucking get it on. Like for real.
Yeah.
Like these two are still very much in love and very much sexually active. And I think that was very cool.
Yeah. What's my last pick? Married with Children.
Yeah.
Boom.
Okay.
Make it number one. Because goddamn was that a great show. Mm-hmm. The first sitcom ever on Fox, still their longest running sitcom, unless you count The Simpsons, but like their longest running live action sitcom. I think it ran for 10 seasons. Edgy as fuck. Like it was, I felt like it was kind of a reaction to that Cosby Show, like Family Matters, kind of mm-hmm. like the that long line of really family friendly sitcoms. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden here comes Married with Children. And it was the kind of show that people started campaigns to try and get it canceled, which no one knew about the Streisand effect back then. Oh, it just right. made it so much more popular. But the things people got up in arms about, if you go back and look at it, it's not just that they portrayed sex, but they would like portray homosexuality, but not really in so much that they were making fun of it, just that they were acknowledging that it's a thing that exists in society, and some people, like, that's just how some people work. And that was the thing that people were like, I don't know about that. Like they were comfortable with people being gay, and people hated that back then because that's when just mentioning gay people at all was still very taboo. And it just, you know, it was such a departure from everything else that we had been seeing at that time. I think, you know, Roseanne was close in that edginess and like really depicting more of what an actual family looks like. But Married with Children was just so over the top funny. And Al Bundy is such an amazing guy. Everyone, like that family, all of those characters were great. Even the dog.
Yeah.
Like, remember the dog would mm-hmm. talk shit about the family, and then it dies and gets reincarnated as the dog that they bought to replace the dead dog.
I remember.
So it's just like, oh, fuck. And yeah, every character on that show was great. Right. It was funny. It was on forever for good reason. And Married with Children. That is my number one.
I have so much to say. Can I go? Can I do it? Can I do
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
okay,
go.
So Married with Children was going to be one of my picks. The reason that I didn't go with it was because to me, it just, while it did premiere in the 80s, it felt so 90s. It
yeah.
feels like such a 90s show. Like we talk about Different Strokes, Facts of Life. It just didn't, like when you list those shows, you know, it just, I feel like it was more 90s.
Yeah.
That's how I felt
but
about
it. But it premiered a year after Alf.
Yeah.
Alf premiered in 86.
100%.
And the, you yeah. can't fault it for
no and I good. Just no I totally I'm glad you picked it. I'm glad it got a, yeah. on someone's list. I remember I watched this show about it. It must have been like True Hollywood Story or something like that, but the executives met with the creators and they're like, okay, we're gonna go forward with the show, but there's one thing we want to talk about. Like, these characters, they have to love each other. Like, they can be mean, yeah. they can pick on each other, but they have to love each other. And the creators said no, we're not going to do that. And I think that's the difference between Roseanne and Married with Children, is that
yeah,
the characters
yeah,
on Roseanne
sure.
genuinely love each other so much. And the characters on Married with Children can really take or leave each other.
Yeah.
Although when anyone messed with them from outside of the family,
yeah.
they did team up.
Yeah, they would rally
up. Together. Exactly. I also feel like, yes, it was a very sexist show in its content, but it gave two of the most brilliant female comedic parts.
Yeah.
Peggy and Kelly were both so different, but so incredibly funny. And Peggy really kept up with Al. Like, tit for tat. Like, he would say something, she'd come right back.
Yeah, she was. They were both so great.
Yeah, it was like watching a tennis match.
Yeah.
So that's an incredible part of the show. The fashion, obviously, like, a lot of people know this about me. If I'm going shopping and I find something that looks like Fran Drescher or Christina Applegate would wear in the 90s, it's coming home with me.
Nice.
That's 100% where I get my influences. I love the show. I love the episode where that got banned, where they're like, they have the videotape.
Yeah.
And they can't prove that they actually had... I'm explaining it bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the lost episode that finally aired in like 2002.
Yeah.
Because that episode was supposed to air at the height of all of the letter writing campaigns to cancel the show. And it was a show about them like both... Like they find a sex tape that their neighbors did, and then they decide to make their own sex tape, and they try to like sue the hotel, and it's an insane fucking episode.
Yeah, but they can't prove that they actually had sex because it happened too quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so ridiculously funny.
Yeah, it's such a good show. I feel like shows like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia owe a lot to Married with Children for that same thing you said. Like, that's a show where you never really get the sense that these characters like each other until it really comes down to it. And then, like, it comes out and it shows. But for the most part, they're just like, fuck you. I'm just going to do what I need to do to get ahead. And it was, I think, a lot of shows that kind of have that dynamic now owe it to Married with Children, because that's a thing that wasn't really seen on TV up to that point.
Right.
It's interesting how, because when we first started this, we a lot of the shows were from the early 80s. And then it's almost like these shows are a response to the happy-go-lucky, perfect America. Mm-hmm. Like, what would happen if a picture of Reagan showed up in Married with Children or Roseanne? It would not have nearly the same weight that they held it there.
Also, Jefferson Darcy is just such an attractive man. Such a funny character. Like, the narcissistic, vain man who's married to a really annoying woman.
Good pick, Adam.
Good pick, Adam.
All right, Danielle, what's your last pick?
Oh, me? Oh, my? So I'm going to try to get through this without crying.
Yeah, what are you going to pick?
I'm going to pick a show called The Golden Girls.
Oh.
It's about four women who live together in a house in Miami. And it's just about their lives. And there is one that's a slut. And there's one that's kind of dopey sweet. And there's one that's kind of the straight man, but still hilarious. And then there's the old lady. And that's what the show's about. And I think it was the best show that's ever been on television in any genre, in any time period.
Wow.
Forever. So.
You feel very strongly about this.
Past, present, and future.
It is a fantastic show.
It's a really
so
good show.
So well written.
The reason I like The Golden Girls so much is because the writing is so incredible. The acting is incredible. They pick the four perfect actresses to play the parts that they're playing, which is funny because in the pilot episode, they were asking Betty White to read for the part of Blanche, and they were asking Rue McClanahan to read for the part of Rose, and they had both just come off of shows where they played similar characters to that. Like, Sue Ann Nivens on Mary Tyler Moore was what they called the neighborhood nympho. So for Betty White to go and play another horny woman, she was like, I kind of just did that. And then Rue McClanahan had played Vivian on Maude with Bea Arthur and was kind of a dopey, like, ooh, kind of naive. So they switched the parts. And I don't think the show would ever have been the same had they proceeded otherwise. They tackled issues that were way ahead of its time. Dorothy had a brother who was a cross-dresser.
Mm-hmm.
Blanche had a brother who was gay. Sophia was in a nursing home that didn't have correct regulations. They had characters who were HIV positive. Come on. I could go on. I mean, just they tackled so many issues that were so far ahead of its time and kept it funny consistently.
Yeah.
It was a very heartwarming show. It's the perfect show. If it were a man, the things I would do to the Golden Girls.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good pick.
And George Clooney was on an episode.
Yeah, I thought he was.
Man, everything.
Wasn't he on Facts of Life at one point, too?
Well, yeah, he was a recurring on that, I believe. Yeah. And
God, he's been around forever.
What? Yeah. Quentin Tarantino was also on an episode of The Golden Girls where he played a non-speaking Elvis Presley impersonator. A
lot of murders on that episode. Bloodiest episode of Golden Girls by far.
Squirting blood out of Elvis's pelvis. All right. Well, that's my pick. Did you guys want to tell me how much you like the Golden Girls now?
Well, I hadn't really thought about it before, but I get when your main characters are old women, that gives you more of a license to talk about things that you might not be comfortable talking about.
That's absolutely right, Matt.
That is true.
Thank you, Daniel.
Absolutely correct.
Well, I'm done then.
A plus.
Yeah, it was a great show, but I'm also here to win, so no, I'm not just going to talk up the fucking Golden Girls.
I mean,
right now.
Go ahead.
No,
you know you want to.
No, do you want to talk about Night Court for a while again?
Do you want to hear my favorite line from the Golden Girls in any episode in any season? Okay, so it's an episode called 72 Hours, and in this episode, Rose gets a letter from the hospital saying that the blood transfusion she had got may have contained HIV antibodies.
Oh, sorry.
So anyways, for 3 days, she doesn't know if she has HIV or not. So that's what she's struggling with. And they go to the hospital so that she can do another blood test. And she's sitting in the waiting room and she goes, I haven't been this nervous since the only volcano in St. Olaf threatened to erupt. Luckily, some druid priests were coming through and they said they could stop the volcano by sacrificing the town's dumbest virgin. I don't know why I raised my hand. I think it's the perfect line of any sitcom ever.
That's a good line.
Sacrifice. The dumbest. Virgin. And she volunteers. I can't believe how funny that is.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw up. It's so good.
Do it. Throw up.
Okay. Well, I would make the noises, but they can see me.
You can do it off camera.
All right, so now we get to the point. You weren't here when I explained the rules.
Oops.
But what we do now that we have all our picks out, we each get to kick two off the list. We go around.
What do you mean? From our own?
It doesn't have to be. No, you can be from anyone's. Just there's the list on the screen, and you can kick. We each get to kick two off. We do it one at a time.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
And What order should we go in? Should we? Danielle went last, so who should? Danielle, go ahead. Yeah, kick one off the list.
So we're competing. So I have to pick something good from one of your lists.
Well, no, I mean you want. We're trying to build the best list. You don't want to like if you kick fucking Night Court off, the room is going to erupt into violence.
Okay.
Like you want, like you're legitimately looking for stuff that you think isn't the strongest.
I'm gonna go with Newhart.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, sure.
That makes sense. Matt.
Full House.
Full House. Yeah, all day. Mistakes. This is easy so far.
Mistakes.
Oh wait. Well, we do get to save one at the end, so I will put those.
Oh, it gets like the wild card
back down here.
Are we playing singled out?
Yes, we are. What am I going to kick off? This is hard. It's Gary Shandling's show.
Oh.
It's gone.
Wow, that's okay.
For me.
It's too.
Yeah, well, now it's going
to
get.
I think because not many people had the opportunity to watch it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I didn't have Showtime, so I didn't get to see it. And if I didn't get to see it, how good can it be?
Exactly. Right.
You know,
if it didn't.
I'm pretty awesome, and the things I watch tend to be awesome with me. So,
if Gary didn't make the effort to find Adam,
yeah,
doesn't deserve to be on the list.
Put in a little extra effort. All right, this is going fast. I like it. What's your next pick or next cut, Danielle? See, it's tougher now because there's nothing but good shit on that list.
You know, I didn't. I think I should toss something that just I haven't seen. Is that unfair?
Cheers. You're going to kick Cheers off?
Wow.
I wouldn't kick. No. I've never seen A Different World.
Oh, is it because you hate black people?
Ouch. Oh, did I take that off because it was black people? That's not the same at. Oh,
that was the Cosby Show spinoff.
Oh.
Where they went to college.
Oh.
All right. Matt, what's the next thing you're kicking off the list?
Punky Brewster.
No! Are you crazy?
None of her fashion looked good on me. So
you don't know till you try, man.
Who says I didn't try?
Punky Brewster. That's tough.
I don't like
this. Look at this list. What the fuck am I going to kick off this list? Easy answer. Family Matters.
Okay.
Fuck you, Steve Urkel.
I agree with that.
So that leaves us. Is there anything on the list of stuff we've cut that we think deserves to be saved? I personally, I know I can't be the one to save it, but I feel like A Different World deserves a spot on this list just because it's the closest we're going to get to giving The Cosby Show the credit it deserves without actually giving credit to The Cosby Show.
Right. There you go. Back to that.
Yeah. It's like a safe way to acknowledge what The Cosby Show did for television without also paying credit to heinous rapist.
Right. It's like,
but A Different World was like the spinoff that Cosby wasn't on. It was just like Lisa Bonet went to college, and I feel like it deserves a spot, but yeah, it's fine.
There's some metaphor there where it's like the offensive line of the Buffalo Bills or something instead of OJ.
But if we don't want to save anything, we don't have to.
You guys are not going to vote for it again, but I like Full House. I think
okay, nothing's getting saved.
That's that.
Nothing's getting saved. All right, so talk amongst yourself while I make the poll.
What were a couple ones that didn't make your list that you were like, there's just no room for?
Yeah, in all honesty, I wanted Family Ties. Oh, Three's Company.
Yeah, didn't that start like deep in the 70s?
Though? Oh, it might have. I think
only made it to like 83.
Oh, I loved Three's Company.
Yeah, Three's Company.
It was
good.
A really, really funny show. Have you done 90 sitcoms for this yet?
No, not yet.
Can I come back?
Of course.
I have so many 90s sitcoms.
You're plugging your next appearance.
Yeah. Stay tuned for the next time Danielle Soto will be joining us to talk about The Nanny and Boy Meets World. Matt, what did you leave off your list?
Murphy Brown.
Oh, yeah. Really good one.
Murphy Brown would have been a good one.
And I felt like as a kid, I was like, she could take me in a fight. This would be... Candace Bergen, I think she had like a nice strong jaw.
Yeah,
and she made that short hair attractive. I enjoyed it as a child.
You know what? Too?
Also, she was a lawyer.
Yeah. Did she have short hair?
For some of it, not all of it.
I don't remember that.
Or maybe just imagining an older picture of her.
I was a big fan of Murphy Brown. That was a good show.
I loved Murphy Brown, and nobody picked Designing Women.
Yeah, Designing Women. Oh, the poll is up, by the way. If people want to go vote, I will. Go do that now. And if either of you want to join the group, I can add you so you can vote.
You're going to vote?
I'm going to vote, yeah. But if you
guess I should vote.
It's up to you. You don't have to. But I'm definitely going to.
What's the 90s sitcom you were thinking of talking about?
90s sitcoms? Yeah. The Nanny, Boy Meets World. Those are my top two. And then probably like Just Shoot Me, Friends.
What? I've never heard of Friends.
It's about a group of people.
Is that the full title?
Yep.
It's about a group of four white people who don't have jobs yet live amazing lives.
You're going to have to narrow way down if we're talking 90s sitcoms.
It was on for 75 years.
Oh, Seinfeld?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I forgot about Seinfeld.
I was going to call Saved by the Bell the Full House of the 90s.
Yeah, I almost wanted... Saved by the Bell started too late in the
80s. It was 80s like 89.
For this, but Saved by the Bell would have made my list for sure.
It wasn't a... Oh, what about Good Morning, Miss Bliss?
No.
No?
No, I'll pass.
Do you know what Miss...
That was like the prequel.
I'm familiar, I've never watched it.
To Saved by the Bell, right?
Right, yeah. It was when Saved by the Bell was a Disney show, and then it got bought by NBC, I suppose.
Our standing right now, Married with Children in the lead, Cheers number two.
This is garbage.
Night Court number three, Alf number four, Golden Girls number five.
What? You guys are sexist.
Oh!
How many do I pick? Just one?
You can pick as many as you want. No votes for Different Strokes. That's surprising.
Okay. What? I just clicked it. Now what do I do?
Third Rock from the Sun was a 90s sitcom. Travis Long.
Do I do anything else after this?
What do you mean?
I just clicked the thing.
Yeah, you just vote.
I didn't hit submit or post or anything.
I don't think you do.
Okay. Now I just... Okay.
Matt, did you get in?
I haven't yet.
Well, hold on. You are dead to me.
Okay, well, I guess I'm dead to you. This just makes me sound like an old person. I didn't want to get the Facebook app, so I got a knockoff Facebook app, which just makes it.
What?
I just needed messaging. That's all I needed.
Why didn't you want it?
Because it drains your battery, and they're going to take all my information. So I'm lying to myself through another program.
That'll keep you safe from the government. Delete Facebook.
That's a little cuckoo.
It's the only way the government's watching is on Facebook.
Hey, no, Google will never, when I die, yeah. Google will never fake my life for about 6 months.
Oh.
News radio is 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at?
Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah, Mr. Belvedere, I thought about.
When was Fresh Prince?
Also, Who's the Boss?
And Growing Pains.
Yeah, and Growing Pains.
I can't believe neither of those got picked.
None of those made the list.
Well, I mean, I always got
And Who's the Boss. I loved Who's the Boss.
Yeah.
Fucking Alyssa Milano. Kidding me?
Yeah, that was a... Rob Brown asked, does Golden Palace also get included? Golden Palace was the spinoff of Golden Girls.
With Don Cheadle on it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Cheech Marin.
Oh.
Yeah, it lasted for one season.
Really? That's all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was different.
Is that what goldenpalace.com eventually turned into?
That's right.
That's weird.
That's right.
What a direction the Golden Girls took in the 2000s.
That's modern, all right.
Why are you guys not voting for Golden Girls?
All right, we're going to leave the poll up for 90 seconds starting right now.
Okay, you Golden Girls fans,
this is your time to lobby, even though it's useless because Married with Children is the only pick for best sitcom.
How could it be the best sitcom when Golden Girls is the best show past, present, and future?
Wow.
I feel like that's the point Kanye West was making at the MTV Awards and people got mad at him for it.
Are you guys mad at me?
Why don't you quit trying to Taylor Swift Married with Children's party here?
No. No.
Because clearly...
I'm going to let you finish. But Golden Girls is the best show. It's so funny, you guys.
It is a good show. What the hell was that?
My birth control?
Wow.
What?
That was my birth control reminder.
Nice. Oh, okay.
God, why you got to get all up in my business?
Yeah, good for you.
Maybe because you have a notification that goes off.
Don't.
And you could have lied.
All women do. Lying just...
is the best.
Do you know this about me? I can't lie. You can see right through me. Seriously,
oh, really?
I cannot lie.
That sounds like a lie.
Yeah, that sounds like a fucking lie.
Well, we'll play two truths and a lie. I cannot tell a lie.
Okay, we have 10 seconds left.
Golden Girls.
No, Married with Children all fucking day.
Too weird.
Here we go. Too weird. What does that mean? All right, let's refresh and then we'll have our final results.
I think Futurama actually probably did more for Married with Children among the younger folks.
That's funny.
Oh, here we go. Our final result, number 5.
Wait. Oh, go ahead.
Almost, Danny.
Alf, don't you get in there and vote again. I just said it was done.
No, well,
it
doesn't matter. I didn't.
I'm not going to refresh until we finish it announcing them. Number 5, Alf. Nice. Number 4, Cheers. That's lower than I thought Cheers would place.
I think
it's tied. Isn't it?
What do you mean?
Doesn't it have 8 and Night Court has 8?
I'm looking at 9 for Night Court and 8 for Cheers. Well, you're refreshing again, but we refresh. This will change a lot. Like, by tomorrow, it'll be... But we have to stop somewhere
and
announce.
I'll just let you.
Okay, good. Yeah, let's start over. Number 5, Alf. Cheers. Night Court comes in at number 3. The Golden Girls. Number 2, Danielle, you must be so proud. That is such a respectable showing. And finally, number 1, let's hear it. Married with Children.
Nice.
Oh, it feels so good. That's a good pick. Yep. That's a good pick
Absolutely.
For number 1.
Absolutely.
That's a good one and 2, I think.
There's
you would agree,
worse
Danielle.
Shows I could have lost to. There's worse mm-hmm. shows I could have lost to.
You weren't on the Golden Girls, you know, right?
What are you talking about? Why would you say that?
I'm just joking. You know that.
Thank you.
We all think you're the best Golden Girl.
I'm going to take my birth control now.
Please do. That fucking notification went off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all I've been thinking about since then. All right. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Very, very fun. Thank you for having me on. And thanks for including Matt, you know? You know, he's a good kid.
You know,
he really is. Yeah.
Next time Danielle's stuck in traffic, just tell me and I'll walk over. It took me 10 minutes to get here. So I'll be in. And you don't even have to.
Seriously,
tell her to go
home. I swear to God, last time I came here, it took me 30 minutes, no more, no less. I was in the car for over an hour.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. No, it's fine. This was fun.
It all worked out.
We made it work. Okay. It was great.
I love you guys.
We love you. Thank you have anything you want to plug?
Sure. First of all, I want to say thank you for having me on. I would like to plug my podcast. It's called Dr. Cheesecake. It is a podcast where my guests come on with a problem in their life, and then I solve it using an episode of the Golden Girls. And I have to be 100% honest here because I can't lie. Adam was on it. Matt was on it. Those are two of my favorite episodes that I've done. Like, seriously, if you're going to listen to it, listen to Matt Brousseau, listen to Adam.
Where we got from.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just, we watched good episodes and you guys were good guests and it was a lot of fun. So go check out Dr. Cheesecake. And then also if you're a stand-up comedian and you want to try stand-up comedy, I host an open mic at the Karma Lounge in Koreatown on Wednesday nights. So check that out. It's called The Band Open Mic, like your band from this bar. So B-A-N-N-E-D. And other than that, thank you so much.
It's not an open mic for the band.
No bands. Don't come if you're a band.
I mean the Canadian classic rock group, The Band. All right, I'm done. Hey,
my God.
Good segue to my plugs. Listen to me and friend of this show, Kevin Anderson. Old man.
Old KB Anderson,
Old man Anderson, we have our own podcast. That's not bad. Called Bleak and Review. And you can he runs a great mic on Tuesdays at The Other Door. Go to Killer Mike Comedy on Facebook. And I got some shows coming up, but whatever. They're at Uncle Flappy Jack's Good Time Saloon, so I don't really care.
What do I have going on? The Darkest Hour, March 10th at Westside Comedy Theater in Santa Monica. We're doing an all Unpops Performing Under the Influence show, March 3rd.
Whoa!
Which will be fun and exciting, and I'll be really drunk or something. I don't know what I'm going to do. Hopefully mushrooms. That'd be fun.
I'll come see you.
I want to come see me.
Are you going to remember that I showed up?
Why wouldn't I remember that?
Because you said you're going to be messed up.
Well, yeah, of course I'll remember.
Okay.
Are you not going to show up if he won't remember?
No, I'll come regardless.
We have that. Sign up for our subscription site at connectpile.com/unpopularopinion so you can hear all the episodes of all of our shows completely ad-free. You get so much, and it's only $4.99 a month.
It's like nothing.
It's almost nothing.
Practically free.
It's like 12 and a half cents an episode.
Wow.
That's so worth it.
It's crazy.
Great.
25 cents for two episodes.
Good deal.
You're lucky I don't just put them in a goddamn vending machine.
I was going to say, imagine getting that out of like the, the M&M
gumball.
On mini discs. That'd be fantastic. And give this show and all of our other shows good ratings and reviews on iTunes. And that would be neat. And I think that's it. This was a lot of fun. Danielle, say goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thanks for having
me. Matt, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.